John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, just kind of review, when you think about what the Holy Spirit is, it's very easy to come up with the word Spirit because it kind of goes in the title. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit, but it's also part of the Trinity, which makes the Holy Spirit as much God as Jesus, as much God as God the Father. The Holy Spirit is not less or more, it's the same. It's just a different portion of the Trinity. I know we went over this, but I want to keep this in front of you, that the Holy Spirit is not less, it's not more, it's the same. This is the particular time period that the Holy Spirit is kind of taking control. The Holy Spirit is the one that is guiding and directing the ways and things of Christianity. As long as the Christians allow it to happen, the Holy Spirit will guide and direct what we do. Now, of course, all of them are working together. You can't take one and say, this one is doing its work alone. You can't say that because they're all a Trinity. That means they all have their input. They all have their portion in this. But all of them are God. Now, how do you explain that? Can't do it. I don't know how to explain it, and I've told you that before. You try to figure out the Trinity or try to put it into a capsule, you're not going to be able to do that. So don't do that. Just realize it is. I can't figure out that any more than I can figure out why the Lord wanted to save me. So I don't let's not try to understand it. Let's just know that it is. So it is also not just a spirit, but it's also God. But it also has another title to it, not just spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, not a lot of holiness preaching gets done anymore. And I'm going to be honest with you. You go about a decade back, I didn't care about holiness preaching. I really didn't. I was more along the lines of forgiveness preaching. I was more along the lines of mercy preaching. And all that is good. But you must understand something. They both are together. You have both forgiveness and holiness together. We should have a desire as forgiven people to have a desire to be holy. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. Okay, now, you're going to tell me right off the bat, Brother Dave, we're sinners. I understand that. But at the very same time, we sinners should have a desire in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our beings inside of us to get better. We should have a desire. Why should we have a desire to get better? Because of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by a renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So yes, I am one that says, by the mercies of God, with an understanding that you are a sinner. And what that does for you is this. Realizing that you're a sinner is not so that you can have a pass. What it does is let you know this. You being a sinner, that means you're not holier than the next guy. It doesn't give you a pass thinking how great you are. What it does is this. It allows you to mess up and still strive to be holy. I dare say that in this room, people have gotten better in their Christianity, gotten better, not perfect, but have gotten better since they've gotten closer to the Lord. I dare say that if you got in your Bible calendar, and I hope you have been, I really do, I'm caught up, just to let you know, okay? And that's not an easy way. I told you right off the bat. Some of you, January, man, woohoo! Now February's here. Oh, man. Brother Dave was right. This isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. That's okay. I want you to keep going as much as possible. I want you to try to get through this. If you have, you've gotten closer to the Lord. You can't stop it. You'd love to tell me you could stop it, but the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I promise you that you've been divided asunder some. if you get into that Bible and keep reading it and keep getting after it. You're going to get better. Now understand this. We as humans are never going to attain holiness until we get to heaven. But our desire should be to be the best Christian we can be while we're walking this earth. Why? Because you're representing the King. Because you're an ambassador for Christ. The great thing is you can never get fired. I mess up as the ambassador, but you're never going to get fired. You can't go so bad that the Lord says, okay, I'm done with you. He'll take you home. But He's not going to kick you out. What a great God we have, amen? But at the very same time, Christian, I think that we have to come to a realization that the Holy Spirit, the vast majority of the time that the Holy Spirit is not seen working through us, not seen being a part of us, is not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's our fault. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit came down last week because the people of God were tuned into the things of God, desiring the man of God to be the man of God. That was profound right there. You should write all of that down. And it's the truth. We had a desire to see our shepherd here, in his post. And because of that, we were tuned into the things of God. I don't know if you noticed, no preaching happened last week. I don't know if you noticed that. Man was not even part last week. I don't know if you noticed, but a stampede of people came to the altar in one accord. You weren't coming forward hoping that your spaghetti was done. You were coming forward in prayer for your shepherd. Tuned into the things of God. The Spirit of God pulling and directing and guiding. And it was so neat to see the Holy Spirit moving so much that the seats could not be sat in. People had to move. We had to go. We couldn't stay. That's the Holy Spirit of God. But it wouldn't have worked if we weren't seeking the Spirit to lead us. Now understand this. I want you to see a couple of scriptures. Look at John chapter 14, verse 17. Let's just go 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people say they love the Lord. And if I went across this room and asked you if you love the Lord, I got to believe every single person would say, yeah, of course I love the Lord. Be very, very careful. Love is not just a thing. Love is an action as well. Love is an action as well. If you love me, in action, keep my commandments. You say, well, the Ten Commandments are done away with. Then why are they in the Bible? Oh, I know you. Salvation, the Ten Commandments. But I'm going to tell you, the Ten Commandments never got anybody to heaven. Ever. Never. Even in the Old Testament, where they kept the Ten Commandments, nobody ever kept them. That's why they were given to us as a schoolmaster, to show how unworthy we are. But the Lord put them there for a reason, because He wanted us to do at least a little good. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do right. Just strive to do what the Lord wants us to do. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Glory to God. Once you've got the Holy Spirit, you're never going to lose Him. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's tremendous. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This Holy Spirit, and we're kind of zeroing in on the word holy. Why are you miserable in your Christianity? I just want to ask you a question, I've posted this to people in the last couple of weeks. I'm miserable. Why are you miserable in your Christianity? I've been there. I've been miserable. Okay, lots of times. Not just a few times. People say, I'm always on top side. You lie. You lie. You've been upset. You've been angry. You've been depressed. You've been discouraged. Don't tell me you haven't been. You're a human. Unless you're on some kind of drug I don't know about, you've been in the depths every once in a while. Why are you miserable? Why are you miserable in your Christianity? What is the thought process behind your being miserable? Because your righteous soul inside of you is vexing you. It's vexing you. Lot had this when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah, watching all the stupidity that Sodom had to offer, watching all these things, and got so consumed in what was going on in the city that when the two angels came, he invited them in and was willing to send his two daughters out to satisfy the mob of homosexual crowd that was out there. He was so overwhelmed that that's why he was miserable. Why? Because he forgot all about his holiness. Why are you miserable? Because you're not serving the Lord. Why are you miserable? Because you're not thinking about holiness. Why are you miserable? Because you're not in your Bible. Why are you miserable? Because you're not praying. Why are you miserable? Because you've got your back turned on God. That's why you're miserable. Why are you miserable in your Christianity? When, in all honesty, your Christianity should make you one of the happiest people in the whole wide world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Am I lying to you today? What does this say? You don't own you. You don't own you. You've put heaven on layaway, already paid for, bought with a price. We have no problem holding on to the blessed promise that our future rests on streets of gold. But while we're here, we're going to take all the world we can get. Why are we miserable? Why are we in our lives? Why is it such a difficulty to get through this? See, holiness preaching does not have to be, if you're not right, you're a bad person. That's not what it is at all. Holiness is an attempt, realizing a Holy Ghost rests inside of you, resides inside of you, and will never leave you. This preaching is to help your life be blessed. Getting rid of all the garbage. I liken my son's room to some of my life, okay? Let's use my life as an example. I liken my son's room to my life sometimes. Standing in the midst of the clutter where you can't even see the floor. The clutter overwhelms me sometimes. Watching, turning every which way and realizing no matter where I take a step, I'm stepping on junk. And toys that seem to want to come up through the bottom of my foot every time. And everywhere I turn, I don't even know where to start. Because it's not clean. There's too much stuff. It's not bad stuff. He needs the stuff. He's got to have toys. He's got to have clothes. He's got to have candy. And the wrappers that used to have candy. He's got to have these things. And what I'm trying to liken this to is I find my life from time to time surrounded by junk, surrounded by things that are stopping me, overwhelming me, stopping me from cleaning up my life. I'm not even talking about bad things, alcohol, drugs, things that don't get wrapped up in that. You have busyness that gets in your life, things that get in our life. The world assumes positions in our life that we get so overwhelmed, I can't make it without my day planner. But Jesus isn't in there. I can't make it without my iPad to give me all my appointments. But Jesus never has an appointment. See, why are we so upset? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is vying for position in your life, which is desire. Hey, you accepted the Holy Ghost. You accepted the Lord as your Savior. The Holy Ghost came in, set up residence. He got himself a fixer-upper, I'll tell you that. Moved in, maybe even perhaps cleaned you up on the outside, cleaned you up some on the inside. And all of a sudden, he's got a clean place, a holy place. See that a lot of times with newly converted people that get rid of everything in their life. But then throughout, and I'm not talking about drugs and pornography and all those things come in too. Let's just keep it to the normal stuff. Your life gets overwhelmed. Your bills. Anybody got a bill in here? Preaching to the choir there. How am I going to fill my gas tank? How am I going to get to work? Do I have a job tomorrow? And those are all things to worry about. They are. But if you allow that to overwhelm your room that the Holy Ghost has taken over, if you allow that, oh, he'll never leave. But I wonder if some of us are allowing the Holy Ghost to live in a house that should be on hoarders. You ever seen that show? I love that show, by the way. My wife watches that show and wants to scratch her hair. She gets so itchy. I love that show. People have a one-foot path through their house, keeping their paper plates that they eat off of and throwing them on the stack. And you ever seen that? Man, that show is gross. I love it. But have you ever sat, and I'm using myself as an example here, that maybe none of you have gone through this. There's times I've sat at my kitchen table with my head in my hands. What am I going to do? Huh? I'm preaching on holiness right now. What am I going to do? I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I have no idea how I'm going to... I'm telling you right now, it's come to my life and I've been overwhelmed with what the world is taking from me and removing from my life. And I think, oh, Lord, how am I going to get over the top? You ever thought to yourself, man, if I just had $10,000, I would be squared away. You'd go through that $10,000 in 2 hours and be saying, man, I wish I had $10,000. Why are we living a life that is nervous? And I'm not, believe me, I understand these are things to worry about. But our life gets so cluttered and so overwhelmed. I can't have this. You talk about holiness, Brother Dave, but understand this, I need what I've got, and I've got to have what I have. And I'm going to tell you right now, we get farther and farther away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get farther and farther away from the Holy Spirit on things that are not necessarily wrong, but they're not what is best. See, if we put our seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, that's prosperity preaching. No, it's holiness preaching. If we would get the world out of our life, and it's hard because the world's good at it. If we could get the world out of our life and realize that your body, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns you. And that may not make you happy sometimes. But if you allow that Spirit to lead you and allow that Spirit to work through you and allow that Spirit to do things with your body, things with your spirit, I promise you, the folks that came forward last week before the service ever did start, you were allowing your body to be used by the Holy Spirit. To allow that to happen, your spirit had to be used by the Spirit of God. You didn't just say, well, I'm going to show off right now and stand up in flesh and walk up forward. And if you did that, well, that's all on, that's whatever, that's on you. That's between you and the Lord. But what I saw last week, I saw folks that would not be denied, allowing that Spirit of God to work through them and say, you know what, I'm not going to live here anymore. I'm not going to be in that spot anymore. You want to know about holiness preaching? Holiness preaching is simply this. When you decide, I'm not going to allow my body, I'm not going to allow my spirit, I'm not going to allow it to be overwhelmed by the junk in this room, I'm going to clean out that room, allow God to work through me, and give Him what is rightfully His. You want holiness? Allow God to have you. Everything else goes away. It is not what you have to get rid of. It's not. That's not holiness. Because if you feel like you've got to get rid of it, then you're not in the right frame of mind. You've got to take what you have that is not yours and give it to Him. Then you know what you'll be? You'll be holy. Because He will not allow you to do the things that are not right. That Spirit of God's not going to lead you into drinking alcohol. That Spirit of God's not going to lead you into looking at pornography. Did you know I've heard statistics on Baptist preachers that look at pornography? Baptist preachers. You tell me that the Spirit of God led them there? So if they were led by the Spirit of God, would they get there? You want holiness? Follow the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. You say, I'm not worthy. You're right. But He is. Now, for you are bought with a price, not in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, I have to ask you a question here. Is this a request? Is He asking you a question? I don't see a question mark at the end of the sentence. What do I see at the end of the sentence? That's a period. Here it is. Ye are bought with a price. Everybody in this room, I gotta believe, knows what that price was. It was the price of the only begotten Son of God coming down to this earth, living here in this putrescent land of sinners that hated Him. Let me ask you a question while I'm on this. This is way off subject. I was looking at if you're reading your Bible calendar, you would have been at this spot, I believe. 10 lepers. 10 lepers, all of them cleansed. Only one came back. The Lord makes a statement to that one leper. Where's the other 9? Wait a minute, wait. But then He makes a statement. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Can I ask you something? I wonder if the other 9 got saved. Huh? They came all the way to Him and were cleansed of their leprosy. And I wonder, out of all the thousands of people that came to Him for a healing, Brother Bill, and He healed them, did they believe in Him for salvation? I wish I could give you that answer. I don't believe the Bible gives you that answer. Here's the question. When the Holy Ghost came inside of you, did you take Him just so you could get to heaven? See, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Did you take Him just so you could get to heaven, or did you take Him so you could avoid the hell that you deserve? Or did you take Him because you wanted something more for your life, not just here? Not just initial self. By the way, you can get saved and go and live your life like the devil. But I don't know how your soul fights with you daily and your spirit fights with you daily, and that inside of you that you know until you've put that light almost out, which in salvation you can never put it all the way out because you're always saved. But I know a lot of folks that are saved, and you say, well, what's that new creature thing? If they don't do right, they ought not be saved. No, don't talk to me about that, because you can't tell me what's inside the heart of a man, and neither can I. Well, our spirits will bear witness. Why don't you just pay attention to your own spirit? What I worry about, though, is the person that gets saved and then ignores God and their misery. But they refuse to come out of the misery. And you get mad at the preacher for him telling you to stop drinking alcohol. You get mad at the preacher for him to tell you to stop looking at pornography. You'll get mad at the preacher because he preaches on Facebook and all this other garbage that we have in this world today. You'll get mad at the preacher. Why? Because you don't want to come out. And your soul fights you. And by the way, the world's good at it. The world's good at it. The world's good at keeping you on a computer for 2 hours and in your Bible for 2 minutes. Help me now. See, don't turn me off now. Preacher's got a great, really nice, happy message later. I want you to think about your own self. Listen, what happened last week doesn't happen unless we got people tuned into the Spirit of God. Doesn't happen. Unless the people here are tuned into the Spirit of God. Why would the Spirit of God show up if two people are tuned into Him? Why would He do something miraculous if only two people? We had a group of people begging God, please come down, heal my pastor. Why do you think it came down? You look at me in your pharisaical tongue. Well, two or more gather in His name. There He is in the midst of them. Yeah, He's in the midst of the two. Boy, that's good preaching. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up to me. He's in the midst of the two, and the two will be over here in the corner having themselves a fit. Woohoo! Glory to God! And you'll be over there going, they're nuts. So you help me now this morning. You know, why don't you allow your spirit to be led by the Holy Ghost that resides inside of you? Why don't you allow it? Don't you say, well, I can't be holy. Yes, you can. You can. Well, you just want me to give up all my stuff. No, I don't. The only thing I want you to give up is your heart. The only thing I want you to give up is your spirit. You don't own them anyhow. When you give up the first two, you're going to give up the rest. Why don't you tithe? See, you went right to money, dummy. You had me right up until the money. Well, I just saved you about $100 a month getting rid of your alcohol. No, wait a minute. Brother Dave, now you're just meddling. Every time you open up that bottle of alcohol, your spirit tells you it's wrong. Don't come to me and say it doesn't. Come on now. And you'll make 100 million excuses. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Your stomach's doing just fine. You're making your stomach sick after you drink it. I've been there. Don't talk to me about it. I've been there. Why? Why is it the point is we say, brother, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the holiness preaching, Brother Dave. I want to go forward at Bethel Baptist Church. And we took a great step forward last week. And I don't want to go back. How do we do that? We get closer to the Holy Spirit of God, not further away, closer. How do we do that? Give yourself to Him. Amen. Do you know how many people I know that have more talent in their little finger than I do in my entire body, yet they serve not God? Why? Because they can't let loose. You've got a wonderful talent for the Lord. I'm not coming down on you today. I'm trying to lift you up. What can you give to the Lord? He purchased it. He thought something was in there. He didn't go to a garage sale and get a piece of junk that he's never going to use or put on the secret sister table. He's going to go ahead and get something that's real, and he's got you. He purchased you. If he purchased you, he believes that you can. If he believes that you can, don't you think you should? I don't like holiness preaching. You know, I've been where you're sitting. I hated it. I just didn't like it. But you know why I didn't like it? Because I wasn't trying to be holy. And I'm not pleased. If anyone in this church calls themselves a sinner more than I have a hard time believing that. I know I'm a sinner. I'm the chiefest in this room, I promise you. I know I'm a sinner, but at the very same time, I know that the person that resides in me is greater than my sin and has given me the ability, not an ability of my own, given me the ability to overcome alcoholism. Huh? Given me the ability to come over top of the dirty, rotten movies that we all watch. Given me the ability to overcome curse words. And there is still an occasional time that you'll hit your thumb and say a bad word. Oh, I know some of you.
That's horrible, man.
Come over, bring me your thumb. Let me hit it, and then you tell me what word comes out. It might start with a praise, but it'll end with a curse. I guarantee you that. Why isn't the Spirit working? The Holy Spirit is a moral flame. Think about this. He knows no sin. Holy Ghost knows no sin. He is holy. He cannot be corrupted. You're not going to make him like what you like. You're not going to make him enjoy pornography. I'll never forget, Carl and I visited a man. We were out in his driveway. And he says, "Oh, I've heard of Bethel." They all say that. "I've heard of Bethel." Never in a good way did they mean that. "I've heard of Bethel." He said, "I'm in a praise band." We sat there and talked with him for a little. Brother Carl knew him, which Brother Carl knows everybody. I love to go soul winning with him because, "Hey, Jim, how are you?" And no matter where we go, he knows somebody. And the man says this to us. He said, "I started playing drums in our church." And I could, Brother Carl's dying. He wants to say something to him, but he doesn't. He holds his tongue, bless his heart. He says, "It took me 6 months of playing the drums to finally realize that God was okay with it." Sir, I don't think God works that way. If it takes you 6 months to put the fire of God out enough to make you comfortable with your sin, then that's what happened. Your flesh is okay with it, your spirit's not. You can't corrupt holiness. You can't say, "If I continue to drink alcohol, eventually the Holy Spirit will like it." The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. You can't corrupt holiness. You couldn't corrupt Christ. You can't corrupt God the Father. You can't corrupt the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost that resides inside of you is crying out from inside, "Please, please, go to the right." And your spirit inside of you, that spirit that the Holy Ghost is trying to take over, that spirit has got to come to grips with the fact that it will not make that Holy Spirit corrupt. And you've got to allow your spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants it to do. You're the only one that can do it. You know what, Brother Meyer? I can't do it for you. I can't make you do right. Oh, I could put him in a chokehold if I could ever reach his neck. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want somebody to do right because the preacher said it. Hey, listen, I'm glad for preaching, but you're missing the point. If you think that preaching is what, it's not the preaching, it's the moving of the Spirit through the preaching. It's not some guy up here. You saw that last week. No preaching happened. Thank you, Lord, for proving my point. It's not about the preaching, although I think the preaching is vital and very important. If the Holy Spirit's not there, the preaching is just tinkling cymbals. And we as Christians are fighting a battle in our flesh every day over the Holy Spirit and over holiness and over getting right. And you, if you're moved by the Holy Spirit, I promise you, if you allow Him to lead, you'll get to the holiness. But don't give up alcohol because the preacher said it's right to give up alcohol. Give up alcohol because the Spirit of God wants you to give up alcohol. He is not the good Spirit. He is not the okay Spirit. He's not the mediocre Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He is holy. And the question is, and I liken this again, does your room need cleaning? See, a wonderful teaching is the simple fact that the Lord is so patient. The Lord is so patient that He will allow you to have time to get your room in order. He doesn't overtake a body, and then if you don't get right, He takes you out. He gives you time to yield to His Spirit. He gives you time to yield to what the Lord would have you to do. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is simply this, that by the mercies of God, don't come to me and say, I've got it all figured out, Brother Dave, I have arrived. Because you've not. You're not thinking soberly. Just as I said in the beginning, you are sinners. You will sin. But at the very same time, the reason that you're having a tough time in your Christianity is because you're not allowing the Spirit to guide you. You're doing what you think is right. If you look, you'll realize in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. The minute that preachers give up on preaching holiness is the minute that we lose. We cannot allow ourselves as Christian people to get to the point in our life where we believe that the flesh is okay. It's just one bottle of beer. It's just one. It's not going to kill me. You yourself said, Brother Dave, that He's going to forgive my sin. He's going to forgive my trespasses. He's already forgiven them. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven, and nothing's going to stop that. But if you want to be happy, if you want to have joy, if you want to do something that won't just last for here, that will last for there, if you want to do something, you say, I don't know what to do. Believe me, there's a lot of things for you to do. Get your Bible out. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be happy and you want to get out of your misery and you want to get out of your depression and you want to get out of your discouragement and you want to get out of that rut you're in, I'm telling you, I've heard more Christians tell me I'm in a rut. I'm in a rut spiritually. I'm in a rut. Well, put that thing in four-wheel drive, mash on the pedal, and get out of the mud. We live our lives substandard and melancholy. We live our lives that way because we're not allowing the team of horses that is the Holy Spirit to pull us out of the fleshly rut we're in. We won't allow it because we don't want to have the people look at us and say, well, you're just a Jesus freak. Well, let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, that's the only people going to be there. You might as well just go ahead and get with the crowd now. We're a bunch of freaks.
We worry about what the world thinks. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The world needs to know we're here, and the world needs to start worrying about us. The world needs to start worrying about us, the ones that are killing all these babies, the ones that are making the queer, our gay brothers and sisters, until they're embraced by this wonderful nation, then we are not truly equal. You dirty, rotten, sinful dog, why don't you just crawl in a hole and die? Why don't you get out your Bible, brother, and realize that what you're talking to us about is an abomination unto God? You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. I'm going to tell you right now, our God's a holy God, and you can't corrupt Him. I don't care how many brain children or intelligent people you put on Him. You can't corrupt that Holy Ghost. He's never going to like the queers. He's never going to like being queer. He loves the queers. He's never going to like being the queer. He loves everybody that has ever been birthed on this earth, no matter who they are, what they've done. But the Holy Ghost can never, ever like sin. So in our lives, and I'm all done, in our lives, if we will allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, we've got to allow it now. The Holy Spirit doesn't beat you over the head and take you down the road. You've got to allow yourself to follow. And I'm going to tell you right now, what I saw last week, and I'm all done, I promise you, I'm all done. What I saw last week, look at 1 Peter 1:16. The Bible says, as it is written, this is not a question, be ye holy, for I am holy. What I saw last week is a bunch of holy sinners. Stay with me, please. I saw a bunch of holy sinners get up out of their chairs and come forward, led by the Holy Spirit of God, allowing yourselves to be led to this altar. And I don't, to pray for that man, your shepherd, the Holy Spirit leading you here. That Holy Spirit, your flesh didn't want to get up. But the Holy Spirit overwhelmed you so much that for a moment in time, you walked forward holy. The Holy Spirit made you that way. You didn't come holy yourself. You're a sinner. But the Holy Spirit brought your holiness right here. And 1 hour later, I'm at the table with Him and He's happier. Somebody say amen this morning. Now, I'm all done. How did your spirit feel when you left last Sunday? Where was the vexing? Where was the depression? Where was the discouragement? Where was the turmoil? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. Lord, please. I am such a sinner. But Lord, inside of me resides the Holy Ghost. Lord, help me to remember that I've been bought with a price. Help me to remember that although I'm a sinner, Your Bible commands me to be holy. Lord, help our folks personally, each and every individual represented here today, to embrace how wonderful You are. To embrace the premise that although they are sinners, they've been purchased by an almighty God, giving the best and the only thing He had to give to purchase them. And that was His blood. Oh God, when we come to the realization of how much He gave, I wonder, how much are we willing to give? I wonder. It's not about how much we're able to give. How much are we willing to give? Because, Lord God, you are holy. You've commanded us to be holy. Lord, help us to be holy this morning. Help us to seek you out. Lord, help us to continue to pray down heaven for our shepherd. Help us to come to the realization, and this is the greatest church in the whole wide world, to keep coming to the realization that prayer is what's making the difference. Help us to come to the realization that as our man of God is able to walk to this pulpit, our spirits are better because of the Spirit of God working through him. Lord God, please anoint my pastor this morning. Anoint him with strength, physical strength. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Anoint him, Lord, that he can bring forth your message with power. And let us as people, let us as sinners, let us be open to hear it. And Lord, let it change our lives. Lord, allow us to allow your Spirit to lead us more and ignore the flesh more, because we're supposed to be holy, because you are holy. Oh God, I thank you so much for this morning. Please be with us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.